Anna Sheridan, missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. How did I
Someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil. There's no place for ghost stories in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Dungeon Cast. I'm Brian.
And I'm Will.
This is the podcast where we talk about everything Dungeons and Dragons, and today we're talking about Topaz Dragons.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, Will.
How are you doing today?
I'm ready to talk about fucking dragons.
Good, because it's time for another Gem Dragon episode. Brought
yes!
to you by Fizban's Treasury of Dragons.
Fizban!
Today's Gem Dragon episode, the Topaz Dragon, is in a lot of ways the oddest of the bunch. Unlike the first three Gem Dragons we've covered this year, Topaz Dragons don't really have a chromatic or metallic analog dragon in color, breath weapon, or temperament. And if you were to describe a Topaz in a single word, the word I would use would be grouchy.
Womp,
they're
womp.
Very, very grouchy.
Okay.
Decay and despair are bound up in the nature of Topaz Dragons thanks to the necrotic energy of the negative plane that suffuses them. Their psionic powers manifest the fundamental entropic principle that mortal beings and their creations are ultimately doomed to death and decomposition, and the dragon's demeanor is typically morbid or curmudgeonly as a result.
Okay.
It's just kind of negative.
Just
negative
little,
vibes, bro.
Just some little Debbies.
Yeah.
Some little
some Debbie Downers, for sure. It's true. Upon hatching, Topaz Dragon Wyrmling scales are dull yellow-orange and have a cloudy or filmy look with brighter orange highlights. As they age, their scales harden and clarify, becoming translucent and faceted, with individual scales becoming indiscernible and ranging from bright yellow to rich amber in color. From a distance, Topaz Dragons can appear as if carved from pure topaz itself. Their pupils fade with age, so a great worm's eyes are not but fiery glowing orbs.
They
look,
wow.
They look pretty cool.
Is that like how, you know, your eye kind of grays over.
So you're thinking like cataracts?
Yeah, I guess
no,
so. Is that
not,
what that is?
No, it's more along the lines of like the inner power of the dragon begins to emanate so powerfully that like it shines through their
burns
eyes.
Burns their eyes out.
Yeah, kind of. So like their eyes glow with an energy.
I'm so powerful, I can't see anymore.
I mean, they can.
My eyes are flashlights.
They have true sight. So
kill me.
A hatchling body length averages 2 foot long or 0.6 meters.
Nice.
With a 2 foot long or 0.6 meter tail. While an adult averages a body length of 44 to 53 feet, that's 13 to 16 meters, and a tail length of 23 to 29 feet, that is 7 to 8.8 meters.
Hey, let me stop you right there. Sorry. Let's do a bit where you say the thing, and then I look at you and say the meters thing, as if I know it off the
okay.
top of my head.
The biggest great worms grow to 92 feet.
That's 28 meters.
Long in the body with tails 40 feet.
12 meters.
Long.
I love it. Let's keep doing this forever.
All right, cool. Their bodies are wider at the haunches, tapering in a wedge shape toward the head, and their wings are shaped to propel them through both air and water. A Topaz Dragon's psionic power manifests visibly in the gem-like spines that run in a ridge from the crown of the head to the tip of the tail. These spines hover above a living Topaz Dragon's back, dancing and shifting with the dragon's mood.
That's kinda so
like
cool how they all do
dragons.
That.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It is pretty neat. Topaz dragons are a breed of gem dragon known to be selfish and unsociable, which honestly, all gem dragons seem to be like that. They're all really antisocial for different reasons and in different
loners.
Ways. Yeah. While generally not malicious, they often behave erratically, making them unpleasant and even dangerous to deal with. They rarely tolerate any company but their own, and they are usually indifferent at best, even toward their own kind. Moreover, their unpredictability means that even if a creature proves itself useful to a Topaz Dragon, it shouldn't count on being safe from the dragon the next time they meet. Topaz Dragons rarely go out of their way to fight other creatures, however, with the exception of Bronze Dragons, for whom they bear an inexplicably intense hatred.
They always have these long descriptions like that with that kind of language embedded mm-hmm. in it. And then we get to a portion where it's like, but they're really loving parents.
Right. It's so
and
true.
And they really bring their kids up with like a fervor for parenting that is unparalleled. And I'm always like, aw.
I know, right?
So cute.
Topaz dragons embody decay. They view destruction as a natural means of clearing the way for new creation and growth. Much as a forest fire clears dead wood, replenishes the soil, and allows the forest to regrow even healthier than before, To this end, topaz dragons use their power to reduce crumbling structures and diseased plants to dust, clearing the way for new growth and construction.
That's funny. For a second, I thought you were going to tell me they're infertile, like their bodies are a
waste. No, not at all. Okay. Topaz dragons are often detached and disinterested parents.
Oh, no. What have you done?
I'm sorry. Even going as far as to abandon their own offspring in order to save themselves.
Yo, fuck this thing. It's noisy.
Yeah, they suck. Topaz dragons are happiest by the sea. Fuck my kids. I'm going to the beach. They make their lairs in bleak and rocky coastal areas such as secluded beaches, caves above or below the waterline, or structures they build themselves. At these places, they enjoy sunning themselves on rocky outcrops under the wind, sea spray, and crashing waves, and from where they can keep an eye out for the prey.
Hey, Jenny, check out my new cabana I built. Hey, Ron, didn't you have a son?
Wasn't he just born?
Nah.
Nah, I don't know what you're talking about, Jenny.
Talking about. I ditched that loser. Check out my cabana, though.
I love this guy.
This is my son.
This guy's horrible. Despite being competent swimmers and making their lairs on seacoasts and in brackish marshes, topaz dragons hate the water. What the fuck? Unfortunately, their favorite food is giant squid. So these dragons have ample opportunity to complain bitterly about being wet after diving deep into the ocean to search for their prey. Their hatred of being wet is so intense that they keep their lairs scrupulously dry even when on the plane of water, no matter how difficult that may seem.
What the fuck? Their hordes are full of ShamWows.
What's a ShamWow?
Oh, it's like it's a joke about like how it's so. It's not a joke. It was a real product that was released.
Tell me more.
In like an infomercial kind of schemey sort of way. Mm-hmm. They absorb a ridiculous amount of water.
What? Okay. Yeah, definitely.
That's their whole thing.
It's their favorite product.
It's a ShamWow. One ShamWow the size of your chest can like clean all the water off your car or whatever.
What? Okay, that's crazy. Yeah, they definitely like ShamWows. Their preference for lair sites frequently bring topaz dragons into conflict with other creatures since they resent having to share their chosen scenic locations with anything that isn't food. This includes coming into conflict with bronze dragons when their coastal territories overlap. This is the real reason topaz dragons nurture an intense hatred for these metallic dragons. Bronze dragons are the only other creature they can't just chase away from their lairs. It's a big deal if two dragons beef and a topaz dragon probably rather just leave than have to deal with the effort. So yeah. They fucking hate those guys.
Yeah, the bronze, this is a really sociable one, right?
Bronze dragons are fairly sociable. They're more like the honor ones.
Copper is the one I'm thinking of.
You think of copper and brass. Brass are talkative. Copper are tricksters.
Oh, then it was the brass. Yeah. They're all basically like, those colors are all similar enough to me. Or true. I can't like differentiate.
No, I think that's understandable.
Which one talks buoyantly?
That's the brass.
So the ShamWow bailed us out, repeatedly ringing dry, thirsty for more. As well as it did, though, the final wipe hand to happen with a paper towel. So I do remember that. They would leave, like, droplets of water behind because they would get so full.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't think... I Googled, are ShamWows good? And that's the thing I read.
Okay, cool. They can also draw the ire of druids and other nature protectors who don't understand the dragon's proclivity for destroying large swaths of countryside.
Okay.
They're like, dude, what the fuck? Trogdor! That was a perfectly good field. Yeah, they're definitely Trogdoring it up.
They're burninating the countryside.
Beyond that, Topaz, man, we just showed our age. Goddamn. That Trogdor is like, at this point, almost 20 years old.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We've shown our hand. It's a boomer podcast.
No!
No, not again.
Beyond that, topaz dragons simply dislike company and grow irritated when disturbed. But anyone who can endure their abrasive demeanor, caustic observations, and morbid interests can form a lasting bond with a powerful ally.
Okay.
You know what I like best about you? You never call me out for complaining.
You know, you kind of just take everything I do in stride, brother. Shaka.
Yep, that's it. You better put a topaz dragon in our next campaign.
Now I can't name my next Harangon Ron John, because this is Ron John.
Yeah, Ron John, the topaz dragon.
The surfing topaz dragon.
Absolutely.
He has a surfboard so he can stay dry.
Absolutely, because he didn't like get in there. Yeah. They often abandon lairs to seek new vistas, so the interiors of their lairs often feel less finished than those of other dragons. They like to keep their lairs well lit and can spend endless hours watching the play of light upon the treasures.
Okay, cool.
They sometimes obsessively arrange their hordes by minute gradations in color and set up mirrors around a horde chamber to make the massive treasure appear bigger. I don't know why I love these guys. They're horrible.
No,
but
they
I love
are
them.
Funny.
Yeah. But whatever pride Topaz Dragon's take in their horde, they have little desire to show it off. So even those rare creatures who maintain cordial relationships with the Topaz Dragon are unlikely to ever see the dragon's treasures.
Jenny, look at the way I set up all these mirrors. Doesn't it make my horde look so big? Shouldn't you be looking for your son, Ron? No, I told you I'd ditch that loser.
I love Ron John. Topaz Dragon's prize information on destruction and creation, whether abstract or dedicated to practical applications. They are fascinated by magic that creates objects from nothing, animates undead, destroys matter, or manipulates negative energy. And they're particularly intrigued by undead, sometimes keeping them in their hordes as curios.
What?
That's my zombie Bob.
Look at the way I shine the light on this zombie. Jenny, isn't it so cool?
I'm just so curious. Who is Jenny in this scenario?
She's like another dragon of some kind, probably a Topaz dragon.
Absolutely.
That's like mad about the sun ditching, but would totally do the same thing.
Jenny's just like, I hate you. I hate you, Ron John. Topaz dragons despise anything made of bronze, but love to hoard gold as well. Say, man, they really hate those bronze dragons.
Yeah, fuck bronze.
As well as yellow and orange gems that coordinate with their scales. They also favor treasures with a nautical theme, images of the sun and mirrors, which they use to gaze at their own reflections and to redirect sunlight into their caves.
It says live, laugh, love, and it's on a sailboat carving.
Absolutely. In previous editions, Topaz dragons I really like this fact. In previous editions, Topaz dragons breathed a cone of dehydration, ironically resembling a blast of water. This would dry objects and vaporize many cubic feet of water and water-based liquids, causing salt and other suspended compounds and particles to precipitate out. Living creatures caught in the blast would be severely dehydrated, losing much of their strength, and needing extensive care and rest to recover, and potentially even falling into a coma and dying.
Oh my god.
I wish they still had this because it's awesome. Fucking cool.
Gatorade. Get
exactly.
I need a Propel.
What a surprising and horrible way to die. Now they have a less cool but still pretty cool necrotic breath.
That'd be a cool show, like 1,000 ways to D and die.
Ooh, I like that.
TM.
No one take that. We're going to maybe use that later this hour. Save that. That's good. Fun facts about Topaz dragons. A talent of a Topaz dragon is reported to be one of the many draconic material components in Ossivator's Way, a magical means by which a dragon can attain immortality.
Yeah. The talent of Topaz dragon.
I think it's because of their tie to the necrotic energies and negative plane. You can somehow use it as an implement in a spell that can give dragons immortality.
Oh, shit.
The brain and or cranial fluids of a Topaz dragon are one proposed ingredient in a long sought after universal material component.
That doesn't come up a lot.
No, it doesn't.
The fluid of the spine will turn them into Topaz dragon zombies.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a weird Attack on Titan reference.
So let's talk about a specific Topaz dragon, Astilabor. Like many Great Worms, Topaz Astilabor is often mistakenly identified as a dragon god, in this case, the god of greed. In many ways, she is an archetype for all dragonkind, embodying the desire to acquire and hoard wealth. Her desire is born not of greed, though, but rather from her study of the material plane, its magics, and dragons' interconnection with them both. Excuse me. Dragons on many worlds acknowledge Astilabor as they establish new layers to host their hordes, linking them to the magic of the surrounding region. That's all I got.
Did we take a short rest?
Nope.
Oh.
We're going to do that and then go over the stat block.
So now it's time for a short rest.
Indeed.
I was like, where's the short rest? It's here.
It's here now.
Hey folks, I'm here today to tell you about Visible. Something unfortunate about wireless services, what you see isn't always what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. No perception check required. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. If you're looking for a carrier that is upfront with no hidden fees, then go to Visible.com to make the switch. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save, and you're going to be getting unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Visible is the wireless carrier that's constantly operating from a zone of truth. In their quest for total transparency, Visible wants you to know the monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify is great. They're taking businesses of all sizes, cradling them in their arms, to help them grow by giving them the tools they need. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success at every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/dungeoncast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/dungeoncast now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/dungeoncast. We've returned.
Do we have?
Do you want to support this show?
Do you? You should.
Do it.
It's a good show.
Do it, coward. Yeah, I said it. If you need more direction than that, you can go to patreon.com/thedungeoncast to support us monetarily. You can also leave an iTunes review or something of the nature.
Yeah, Apple Podcast review or the new Spotify ratings. Both are very, very good in helping us get the word out there. People trust a podcast that's got a bunch of good reviews. So go do that. Please.
If you trust our podcast, let it be known.
I think we've earned your trust at this
Have
point.
Have we earned
I would
your
so.
Trust? Fire a Snorlax out of a cannon so it hits the subscribe button or whatever.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just really slam dunk it. Just really fucking hit it good.
So, Brian.
Hey.
Why don't you tell me all about how powerful this ancient Topaz dragon is?
I was just thinking, like, you know, why don't I do that? Ancient Topaz dragons. Let me move this microphone a little bit to kind of, you know.
Get a better
right
view
with where I'm going to be. Yeah. check. That's good. Gargantuan dragon of gem, typically chaotic and neutral, with an armor class of because they're just running around dehydrating everything that has.
Well, no, they don't do that anymore. But they still abandon their children.
They do it in my. Yeah, that is chaotic. Armor class is 20, all natural, baby, with a hit points of 280, which could calc out to
not as high as I thought it would be.
17 d20 plus 102. When you don't hydrate, you can't be good at con stuff.
I guess not. Even though they have a plus six to con,
they
I see
do
that
have
right
a
now.
Plus six to con. They can fly for 40 feet. Or no, I'm sorry. They can move for 40 feet, fly for 80 feet, and swim for 40 feet. 40 feet per turn is pretty good. How long
in
would it take
the water,
them to get
yeah.
to giant squid territory in the Forgotten Realms or whatever? Wherever that is. I would assume it's a similar
Oh, you mean
depth.
How deep?
Yeah,
I mean,
giant squid are deep.
Yeah, it's going to be similar depth of the real world. So it's some number. I don't know.
It's some number of it's that many meters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Strength is plus six, dex plus one, con plus
not
six.
Not dexterous.
No, not dexterous. Intelligence is plus five, wisdom plus four, and charisma plus five.
Wow.
Even though they're grouchy, they can talk their way out of some
They're very powerful in personality.
Yes, they are. They have a plus seven dex. Take a shot. They have a plus seven dex saving throw, plus 12 con saving throw, plus 10 wisdom saving throw, and plus 11 charisma saving throw.
Okay. As to be expected, ancient dragon. Good at all the shit.
It's plus 17 intimidation.
I mean, they're scary, dude.
Yeah, they are. Perception is plus 16, and stealth is plus seven. I love how all these dragons have a stealth bonus. They're sneaky.
Yeah,
they know
what it takes to defeat adventurers. They know what's up.
They know what's up. They resist cold and necrotic. This thing
makes sense.
A weird
cold,
thing with
cold
undead.
Because it's cold water. A lot of things water related end up resisting cold.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
And necrotic because obvious reasons.
Obvious reasons. Blind sight of 60 feet, dark vision of 120 feet with a passive perception of 26. They are fluent in common, draconic, and telepathy of 120 feet, like all the other ones.
I'm fluid in telepathy.
Are you Pokemon going right now?
Yeah, it's a community day. I'm trying to catch shiny Mudkips. But I'm listening. I'm literally...
you are commenting. Indeed. He's just throwing Pokeballs. We're on video, so I wanted to address that.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Community day.
The challenge rating is 20. It yields
2,500 experience points. Its proficiency bonus is plus 6. This thing's amphibious. The dragon can breathe both air and water, so the swim depth of giant squid is no major feat to this thing.
No, not at all.
With its immense strength.
To be fair, I really feel its taste for giant squid as a person who discovered calamari in my adult life. And it,
ooh.
Fucking love calamari.
Calamari's really good.
Like, if I had known about calamari since the beginning, I would have eaten so much more calamari than I've managed to so far.
Do you like the circles and the little squiddies?
Absolutely.
They're both good.
I do enjoy them more the more it looks like a tentacle. And I know that makes me weird, but it tastes good.
Yeah, let's sidestep that one. Fabricate. Once a day, the dragon can cast Fabricate, requiring no spell components and using intelligence as a spellcasting ability. Fabricate says it's a 4th level spell. It takes 10 minutes to cast.
Yeah.
You can do it at a range of 120 feet.
Okay.
It is instantaneous from the transmutation school. You convert raw materials into products of the same material. For example, you can fabricate a wooden bridge from a clump of trees. Wow, that's far back. A rope from a patch of hemp.
So it has to be same.
And clothes from flax or wool. Yeah, so if you have the source material, you can make the end effect, I guess.
Okay, that's really
skipping
cool.
All the labor in
Well,
between.
That's interesting. I guess that plays into their fact that like they are into the destruction of things in order for creation of more things. So Fabricate literally does that. You're kind of destroying one thing, but making something else out of it.
Yes, this is straight up the Full Metal Alchemist style magic.
Yep.
You choose raw materials so you can see within range. You can fabricate a larger, smaller object contained within a 10-foot cube or 8 connected 5-foot cubes, given a sufficient quality of raw material. If you are working with metal, stone, or another mineral substance, however, the fabricated object can be no larger than medium, contained within a single 5-foot cube. The quality of objects made by the spell is commensurate with the quality of the raw materials.
Okay. So if it's shitty rope, it's going to be shitty. Or if it's shitty hemp, it'll be shitty rope. Shitty trees, shitty bridge.
Shitty shit, shitty shit.
Okay.
Creatures or magic items can't be created or transmuted by this spell.
Okay.
Fair. You can also use it to create items.
That would suck if you got a magic sword and then it just changes your magic sword into something stupid.
Yeah, like a magic, like, not sword.
I don't know, like just 100 shitty doorknobs. It's like, God damn it.
They're all.
What do I do with all these magic doorknobs?
You put them in a pillowcase. You put them in a pillowcase, baby.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
I have a new sword. It's called a bag of tennis balls.
I like it. That's cool.
Oh, God. Don't hit your friends with socks full of tennis balls or racquetballs or whatever it is you have around.
That's called violence.
Yeah, that's violence, and we don't condone that unless it's fantasy.
Indeed.
Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. That means your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick while you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with a brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/dungeoncast and use your promotional code DUNGEONCAST and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/dungeoncast. You also can't use it to create items that are ordinarily... items that ordinarily require a high degree of craftsmanship, such as jewelry, weapons, glass, or armor, unless you have proficiency with that type of artisan's tools used to craft such objects.
That's interesting. Okay.
So it has to do with your knowledge of it as well.
Right.
Of like
how you have to understand the structure of the thing that you're creating.
Yeah, it seems that way.
And if you don't, well, then you can't make it. Makes sense.
So the dragon could just do that once a day.
Yeah.
Real good.
Mm-hmm.
Legendary resistance. If the dragon fails a saving throw, it can choose to succeed it instead 3 times a day. Actions. Multi-attack. The dragon makes 1 bite attack and 2 claw attacks. That bite attack is going to be a melee weapon attack with plus 12 to hit. A reach of 15 feet. One target, it's going to hit for 17 or 2d10 plus 6 piercing damage plus 10, 3d6 necrotic damage. The claw is going to be a melee weapon attack with plus 12 to hit as well with a reach of 10 feet. One target, it's going to hit for 13 or 2d6 plus 6 slashing damage. Desiccating breath.
Here we go. Here's the fun stuff.
Recharge on 5 to 6 on a d6. The dragon exhales yellowish, necrotic energy in a 90-foot cone. Each creature in that area must make a DC 20 constitution saving throw, and on a failed save, the creature takes 49 or 14d6 necrotic damage and is weakened until the end of its next turn. That's kind of like blight, right? Like blight, this could be seen as a dehydrating sort of thing.
Yeah, you can definitely flavor it as such. You know, it drains you of your water. Energy, if you will, you know?
A weakened creature has advantage on strength-based ability checks and strength saving throws, and the creature's weapons attacks that rely on strength deal half damage. On a successful save, the creature takes half as much damage and isn't weakened. Spellcasting, psionic-based. The dragon casts one of the following spells requiring no components and using intelligence as a spellcasting ability with a spell save DC of 19. Once a day each, it can anti-life shell, bane, control water, create or destroy water. Cool.
That's it for the spells?
Yeah,
those are flavorful. I wish I had a couple more. I always like when dragons cast a bunch of spells.
Yeah, this is pretty. I mean, it's doing the stuff that it kind says. Of harbors back to the dehydration stuff. Like
sure,
moving
absolutely.
Water around and everything like that. Although I'm not familiar with anti-life shell, which is a 5th level spell, takes an action, range of self, duration 1 hour. It's abjuration magic. A shimmering barrier extends out from you in a 10-foot radius and moves with you, remaining centered on you and hedging out creatures other than undead and constructs. The barrier lasts for the duration, which is 1 hour concentration. The barrier prevents an affected creature from passing or reaching through. An affected creature can cast spells or make attacks with ranged or reach weapons through the barrier. If you move so that an affected creature is forced to pass through the barrier, the spell ends.
Oh, okay. So it keeps people out, but kind of like keeps you pinned down. If they have a lot of range, I'm not sure how helpful this really is.
Well, it only works against undead and constructs.
Oh, I thought it only doesn't work against them.
Hedging out creatures other than undead and constructs, my bad.
So it's like if you have an undead army, you know, they can surround you and be near you, but things that are alive cannot.
Yeah.
It's anti-life shell.
Right. Okay. I'm sure there's great application.
I'm just not thinking of it off the top of my head.
Yeah, it's hard to do that in the moment when we're recording the podcast and haven't looked it up ahead of time. So bonus actions are change shape. The dragon magically transforms into any creature that is medium or small while retaining its game statistics other than its size. This transformation ends if the dragon is reduced to 0 hit points or uses a bonus action to end it. It can also psychic step, which is Misty Step on drugs. The dragon magically teleports to an unoccupied space it can see within 60 feet of it. And I mean performance-enhancing drugs that make you psychic. Kind of like Bioshock.
Is that a thing? I've never played Bioshock.
Yeah, you like shank yourself with a vial and then you give yourself psychic powers.
Oh, wow.
That's like a big portion of every single game, pretty much.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and the powers are all really cool, like summon bees and shit. The dragon can take 3 legendary actions, choosing from the options below. Only 1 legendary action option can be used at a time, and only at the end of another creature's turn. The dragon regains spent legendary actions at the start of its turn. Claw! The dragon makes 1 claw attack. Psionics, which costs 2 actions.
They cast a spell, I take it.
The dragon uses psychic step or spell casting.
Oh, okay.
So it can psychic step or spell cast any of those 1-a-day spells.
Gotcha.
Then it can also, for 3 actions, do the essential reduction. The dragon targets a creature or an object not being worn or carried that it can see within 60 feet of it. If you want to be just like immune to a bunch of shit, like create a halfling and like just ride somebody all the time.
For sure.
The target must succeed. Did I mention it was within 60 feet? Yeah, I did. Mm-hmm. The target must succeed on a DC 19 constitution saving throw or take 49d8 necrotic damage. If this damage reduces the target to 0 hit points, it crumbles to dust. You hate to see it. That's it for the stat block.
Well, why don't we take a look at its lair and regional effects as well, which should be above all those stat blocks that you're scrolling through.
Above all the stuff. Ah, Topaz Dragon's Lair. Should I read everything?
Go for it.
Topaz dragons dwell where the sea meets the land, favoring sites where the constant action of the waves and tides is slowly reducing the land to gravel. They make their lairs in caves set into sea cliffs or beneath salt marshes where fresh water and seawater mingle. We did all this, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, we probably did. Let's just skip to lair actions. Mm-hmm. So lair actions are on initiative count of 20, losing initiative ties. The dragon can take one of the following lair actions. The dragon can't take the same lair action twice in a row, two rounds in a row. Beguiling whisper. The dragon telepathically whispers to one creature within range of the dragon's telepathy, which is 120 feet. The creature must succeed on a DC 15 wisdom saving throw or be charmed by the dragon until initiative count 20 on the next round.
Now, I think all the gem dragons, if I remember correctly, I think they all get beguiling whisper, which, you know, is because of their psionicness, right?
Yes. Well, they were also able to extend their telepathy range to like the surrounding gems, I believe, as well. I haven't come across that yet in this.
That'll probably be regional effects.
Okay. A creature charmed in this way obeys to the best of its ability any command the dragon issues that isn't directly harmful to the creature. Cancellation. The dragon chooses an active spell, a fifth level or lower, that it's aware of in the lair and ends the spell.
Dang.
Just says not. Negative energy infusion. Up to two creatures the dragon can see within the lair must each succeed on a DC 15 constitution saving throw or take 14d6 necrotic damage. Negative energy then infuses the lair until initiative count 20 on the next round. While the infusion lasts, the creature in the lair other than the dragon can't regain hit points. Fuck.
Oh, man.
And it can dust people.
Brutal.
That's wild.
Indeed.
Regional effects. The region surrounding a legendary Topaz Dragon's lair is altered by the dragon's magic, creating one or more of the following effects. Crystal profusion.
Here we go.
Natural stone within 6 miles of the lair grows plentiful crystal formations and veins of topaz gem stones, particularly underground. Lots of topaz everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I was looking for. Negative energy. When a creature finishes a long rest within 6 miles of the lair, the creature must first succeed on a DC 15 constitution saving throw or be unable to reduce its levels of exhaustion or regain spent hit die. Mm-hmm. Bummer. Mm-hmm. Creatures resistant or immune to necrotic damage are immune to this regional effect.
Nice.
That's pretty cool.
Be an ASMR.
And if you if you are traveling and you're unaware that you're in a Topaz Dragon's like domain, this is a clue, an indicator that something is desperately wrong near you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not desperately wrong, since they're more neutral. But
man, it's still pretty scary.
Seems bad.
Mm-hmm.
Thriving wildlife. Oh, here we go. Giant squid are horny as fuck and attracted to the sea within 6 miles of the lair, migrating and hunting there in large numbers.
I wish that I had the power to just attract my favorite food anywhere I went.
And make it horny?
Just make it abundant, you know, like pizza just everywhere.
Yeah, just horny Mexican pizza everywhere.
I guess I live in California, so it kind of, maybe I am a dragon.
Will's secretly a dragon in disguise. He's polymorphed. He's been here the whole time. Just wants to do a podcast. The amount of episodes that he sits on is his lair.
Exactly. That's my horde.
In the hundreds, baby. Watery sight. Water within 6 miles of the lair is a conduit for the water is the conduit for the dragon's psionic presence. An action the dragon can cast is the clairvoyance spell, requiring no spell components and targeting any body of water in that region.
Man,
that's awesome.
What a complicated relationship with water these dragons have.
I know.
Like, they hate it. They hate the way it feels. But it houses their favorite food, and it makes them so much stronger.
And they probably have to drink it at some level.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe they don't.
Maybe they don't. Do dragons drink seawater? This guy breathes nasty, dry air, so maybe not. If the dragon dies, the population of giant squid in the region returns to normal levels over the course of 1d10 days. The existing abundance of crystals and topazes remains, but new ones form at a normal rate. Neat. That's everything.
Nice. Okay. What do you think of these guys?
I like the look a lot.
I like the look. excuse me. I like how different they are than a lot of other dragons. I think with a lot of dragons, I mean, it has a lot of the key characteristics, right? They're egotistical, they're greedy, all the other stuff. But like, this is the first one that's just grouchy, wants everyone to leave them alone, and doesn't really have a good reason for.
Yeah, he's
for
just
why.
A grumpy little dirtbag.
Yeah, he's a grumpy little dirtbag, and it's just really funny.
And he likes
it's not usually what you think of when it comes to personality profile of a dragon.
I just like zombies, okay?
Yeah, he's basically Oscar the Grouch.
I hate being yellow, damn it. I want to wear all black, but my mom never let me. Then she ditched me.
If I were to give this dragon an analog for a chromatic or metallic dragon, I guess it would be a black dragon, but even that doesn't make a lot of sense.
No, they're kind of their own thing.
Yeah, they really are their own thing.
I like them.
All right, well, then let's get ready for a long rest.
Let's do that. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the long rest. This is the part of the show where we are just so grateful to be done recording. I mean, thankful to you for listening.
Yeah, thankful to the audience. Thank you, guys.
I just want to sleep.
Yeah, tell me about it. I'm on 3.5 hours right now.
No, we're good. We're good. We're good.
Yeah, we still got another episode to go after
this. Yeah, we're good as
fuck. Strong.
We're good. We're good. Hey, we got somebody to thank in particular besides you guys. You're cool too, though. But D&D is for nerds. They're a popular actual play podcast in Australia. They sent us some good boy, bad boy cards.
Yeah, these things are pretty cool. They seem to be like rewards or punishments that you can dish out to players for their behavior. I'm not sure what, like, I'm trying to think about how I would use it with you guys, because you guys are such good role players and you guys are always such good boys. I can't see myself using these bad boy cards.
This is a product of Sans Pants Radio. On the back of mine, I have the good boy cards.
And I have the bad boy cards.
Bad boy.
So basically, essentially, these are cards that get drawn and have an effect on the game itself. They're very meta.
Have they been good? Treat your players like the common dogs they are by rewarding them with treats. Our patented good boy cards will make your players feel like they're doing a good job, while at the same time, dehumanize them without their knowledge. Are they mad at you? Deflect by telling them they're a good boy and hand out one of these cards. Each one has a unique ability they can play in game or hoard and never use, like the dog-brained idiots they are. So that's the kind of brand we're going for. We're going for like a Dave's Last Resort sort of vibe here.
Yeah, sure.
Have they been bad? Punish your players like the common dogs they are by rewarding yourself with treats.
That's funny.
Our patented bad boy cards will make your players' lives hell while making yours great. Are they mad at you? Good. Tell them it could always be worse and threaten to use one of these cards. Each one has a unique ability you can play in-game or hoard as a threat to your players. As a threat so your players never step out of line. So that's these cards. That's a fun sort of vibe to throw out there.
Yeah, if you're interested in these cards, go ahead and check out D&D's for Nerds. It's on their shop. I can see myself using these in some of our Patreon games because, you know, they're a little bit more zany.
Yeah.
Like a Vault Raiders or that one I've been pitching to you about, like, you guys are playing monsters defending your dungeon.
We got to stop putting our best ideas out here on the internet for everyone just to hear
okay.
and take.
Okay, sorry. You guys didn't hear that.
Thank you guys so much. D&D is for Nerds, the SansPantsRadio.com product. We appreciate that. If you guys want to catch us on Patreon, you can. Speaking of that, it's one of the best ways to support us. And you get a bunch of bonus content, like free early episode. Not free. I mean, you're subscribing to Patreon, right? But you're getting early episodes at every tier level.
They're ad-free,
and that's pretty cool, mm-hmm. I think.
There's show notes. There's just a ton of live play content. There's a ton of it, and people seem to really like it. So if you're interested, go check it out.
Yeah, that'd be great. And if not, you can also leave a podcasting review of some kind, like an Apple Podcast review or Spotify review, or wherever you are consuming the show.
Yeah,
throw out a review, hit the like and subscribe, all that stuff. We really appreciate it. And it really does help. We also have a merch store. It's got merch in it. Surprise. It says Dungeon Cast and many other things. There's also merch for Super Quest Saga on there. And it's a good time. I enjoy it. I enjoy buying my own merch.
I'm wearing merch right now. I've been wearing this Primina shirt from Super Quest.
Yeah, whatever you do, don't rip your shirts in half like the way you're going to talk about the Dungeon Cast out there. Blood Eagle, baby. It's not safe for work, so don't Google Blood Eagle in like a bad place. But yeah, spread the word. Spread the word of the Dungeon Cast. Let people know that the show exists and you're into it. And that helps us a lot, too. Word of mouth is very powerful.
Yeah,
your mouths are powerful.
People are more likely to try the show out if they get actual personal recommendations. So.
Yeah. So go ahead and you can hit us up on Discord. We have a cool Discord.
We have a great Discord.
A Twitter.
Fantastic Discord.
A fantastical Discord.
The other things are cool, but the Discord is really awesome.
Yeah, Discord is great. Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok are all available things you can follow us on, so please reach out to us there. And with that, I'm all out of dice to roll, Will.
Then let's call it a game.
Let's call it a game.
Dungeon Cast.
Anna Sheridan, New York Times bestselling author of supernatural horror. Missing for nearly 6 months now.
That's not possible. Is the compass broken? Or did I turn to the spirit?
Given the circumstances of her disappearance, someone with a more vivid imagination might decide she'd pierced the veil, so to speak.
Weak radio signal. 700 meters. Closing fast.
There's no place for ghost stories and close encounters in this investigation, or any other.
I need you to find me.
To save yourself.
Of course.
What else would it be?
The Sheridan Tapes, a serialized horror mystery podcast. Stream the complete series today on Realm and on all podcasting platforms.